You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June the 22nd, 2022. I want to begin this news and commentary first by reminding you we are live streaming at rumble.com. You can join us in studio. Go to rumble.com. In the search engine, one word, Larry Connors, USA. It'll take you right to that site. You'll see previous postings, and you can find the live button. Push that and join us in studio. And you can also watch it later. I know many of you do. You can't watch right now, but you watch it later. And the same thing about any parts of the air program we put on. They're all put up as a podcast later in the day. So listen to them, share them. And in fact, I urge you to subscribe. It costs you nothing. And that way you won't miss anything. But I also want to begin this news and commentary. And it is news and commentary. It's not just standard old news. I'll make it very clear to you. I'm going to be giving you some commentary. But here's a story that I know is not going to get a lot of attention. And yet, when you stop and think about how your day is going and maybe how good or bad it might be going, we know the folks in the Ukraine region, they're still battling for their lives in some cases and dealing with death and destruction there. And now out of Afghanistan, eastern Afghanistan, comes word of a powerful quake. 6.1 tremor. This is near the Pakistani border. They believe at this time a thousand have been killed and more than 1,500 injured. It would be the nation's deadliest quake in decades, and they do expect that death count to go up. So I know it's mostly Muslim, but they can still use prayers for those who are suffering. They have families they care about as well. So Federal Reserve Chair today, Jerome Powell, is speaking to members of Congress, and he said, when he was asked by Senator Bill Hagerty, Republican of Tennessee, about how inflation has gone up, he had an answer. Here's a question from Senator Hagerty. Given how inflation has escalated over the past 18 months, would you say, Fed Chair Jerome Powell, would you say that the war in Ukraine is the primary driver of inflation? Hint, hint, gas taxes and gas prices. Powell quickly responded, no. No. Inflation was high, certainly was high before the war in Ukraine broke out. Well, that's it at odds with Joe Biden, who still says, blame Putin for the high prices. And the U.S. oil industry, they're not doing enough and they're not building enough factory. Well, because you have shut down factory reconstruction and building and expanding. And the factories, the refining companies cannot run if they don't have anything coming in the pipeline. And the Fed Reserve Chair did say the U.S. economy is strong but faces, and I'm quoting here, uncertain global environmental issues that could create further inflation surprises. I use the word environmental. I'm looking at it again here. He's referring to the environment. He's talking about financial environment, not climate change or things of that nature. But here's something Joe Biden said that has heads turning. Like, what did he just say? He's talking about these COVID-19 vaccines now for children under age 5. And he spoke of preparing for a second pandemic. What? Those were his words. He said, if you're looking for more money for Congress for this vaccine campaign and for COVID funding going into the fall, a reporter told Biden, before asking how much of the supply of vaccines for these small children is there, how many of the nation's kids will you be able to get vaccinated before you need more money from Congress? And Biden is saying, well, we need to prepare for a second pandemic. I'll remind you again, these vaccines for these kids at this age are still experimental. Well, the Senate unveiling today the language of that bipartisan gun control deal involving Senator John Cornyn, Republican of Texas, with Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, along with other Democrats. We're going to break that down for you later this hour. A legal counsel for the gun owners of America is going to tell us what's wrong with that bill. And I have some very strong questions about some of the issues on there as well. And then this word coming out, the FDA, some of you use those popular Juul e-cigarettes for smoking, for tobacco, menthol-flavored products. They're now saying the FDA is going to reject the application to continue to sell on the U.S. market. Now you know. More to come.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We as police chiefs believe in the sanctity of life, and we believe in protecting our communities, and we also believe that sometimes that costs us our own lives. I'll just share a quick personal story. When the event happened in Uvalde and I went home that night, my wife, who's been married 37 years, I've been a cop now for 40 years, so she's known, that's all she's known. And she told me very clearly, she goes, you know, I love you to death, but I would expected you to go in that door. Because that is what you're supposed to do. And that is what the commitment of 99.9% of the police officers in the state of Texas, I believe, have. And I assure you and I assure the community that that is what the police chiefs of this association, of this state, stand for every day.
The voice is the president of the Texas Police Officers Association, 1,300 strong. Police Chiefs Association, I should say. And I'm sure that as his wife talked to him that, and said, when I saw what was going on, that as much as I love you and care about you and your life, I would have thought that you would have been going through that door without waiting for anyone to give you the okay or say, let's formulate a plan. You just would have been going in there. This Uvalde shooting that killed 19 students and two teachers is going to be in front of us for a long time, and then it will slowly slip away, as did Columbine, unless you are one of the ones who lost a child in that case or many of the other school shootings. In some of the testimony these police officers are giving to an investigative committee looking at all of this, they're trying to make it clear that, yeah, we need better training in some areas here. We too many times have a check-the-box. The officer had gone to some kind of training previously that was authorized for learning how to deal with a gunmen inside a crowd, such as a school. But it's 2 years ago, and they haven't been retrained, haven't been going through it again. It's been checked, so they figure they're good. They are advising that that should be a more consistent basis, and I would agree. And not just in Texas, but elsewhere. I would also agree with the fact that one size does not fit all. You have to have certain things in place and already have proactive measures before the gunman gets there, and that again gets into fortifying schools. But of course, we can't fortify everything in every place, can we? Churches, shopping malls. But certainly when it comes to our kids and they're going to school, you expect that at the end of the day, they're going to come home. There could be a bus wreck on the way home, if you know they're in a bus, or maybe some other parent is picking them up and they're involved in a wreck, or maybe you are picking up your child and others and there's a wreck. I mean, all kinds of things and traumas and threats exist, but we can't live in constant fear. But what we can do is take steps to alleviate as many potential threats as we can. And when it comes to taking your child to school and knowing that they're going to be safe while they're there, some schools, of course, have uniformed officers on duty. They're actually active duty officers who are sent there as a police resource officer. They might be working, helping teach drug cases as well, in the sense of not just looking for drugs, but trying to help kids that might need help. They might be there in just other ways. They might just be there to show a presence that a lawman with a badge and a gun or a law woman is not a threat to you. We're here to protect you. And, of course, it also raises the question again, should we have teachers armed? We're going to get into a lot more of the bipartisan, what they're calling the Bipartisan Gun Act that's been passed, or has been presented, I should say, in the Senate gun control deal a little bit later. And I've got a guest coming on who's the legal counsel for the Gun Owners of America Association. And I've told you before, I have some problems with some of what I've heard about them. Maybe I've been wrong about them, so we'll get a chance to iron those out. But I will also say some of these rules that they're trying to put into place right now, they're crossing the line, or they're so ambiguous that it just opens up the door to dissolving the Second Amendment. And I won't have that. But let's put all the rules and the battling and all that stuff aside for a moment and focus on just the kids, the victims. I want you to hear the testimony of a mother who testified. I want you to hear her in a moment as to what she thought that day of the shooting at Uvalde, Robb Elementary. But before that, I want to again let you hear what the director of the DPS, that's the Department of Public Safety, Steve McGraw, the Highway Patrol chief, in his initial evaluation of what went down and the video that they had access to, and some of it has been shared to news media, KVUE, I believe in Austin, has some of it, but not all of it, but apparently one of the reporters got to see all of it, or at least a majority of it. So based upon that and the early investigation, and this is 2 days old now, but these are the remarks that were made at that time by the Department of Public Safety in Texas, Steve McGraw, and he basically said it was a total police fail.
There's compelling evidence that the law enforcement response to the attack at Robb Elementary was an abject failure and antithetical to everything we've learned over the last two decades since the Columbine massacre. 3 minutes after the subject entered the West Building, there was a sufficient number of armed officers wearing body armor to isolate, distract, and neutralize the subject. The only thing stopping a hallway of dedicated officers from entering room 111 and 112 was the on-scene commander, who decided to place the lives of officers before the lives of children.
They haven't identified yet fully who the commander was that was actually making that call. It might have been a guy on the scene taking orders from someone higher up. But I do know this, that based upon the remarks you just heard from the Department of Public Safety director, the Texas Highway Patrol, saying it was a failure and they put the lives of police officers ahead of children at that point, that the Uvalde mayor has been complaining and saying, that's Don McLaughlin, he said just yesterday that state authorities, such as you just heard, are selectively releasing information, trying to make the local law enforcement a scapegoat and intentionally leaving out details about the state's response in the massacre. It's, again, finger-pointing. But I'm more interested in finding out what the issue is for future kids and, of course, those parents that lost their children. They need clear, clear answers. So now the story of Kimberly Rio, a Uvalde parent who testified before the investigative committee and the last time she saw her daughter.
I told her we loved her and we would pick her up after school. I can still see her walking with us toward the exit. In the reel that keeps scrolling across my memories, she turns her head and smiles back at us to acknowledge my promise. And then we left. I left my daughter at that school, and that decision will haunt me for the rest of my life. The district was asking all families who had not been reunited with their children to gather. Soon after, we received the news that our daughter was among the 19 students and two teachers that died as a result of gun violence.
I could have ended that bite when she just said died of violence, but I kept in her specific words of gun violence because that's really what's at issue here. That's also what's leading to the new push for gun control laws or more laws. The laws as they exist in Texas at this time, and even the head of the Texas Police Association, Texas Police Chiefs Association, says there are some things we can do that I don't think diminish the Second Amendment. And one of them he was suggesting was the 18-year-old should not have been allowed to buy that weapon. Not one, but two of them, and the rounds that went with it. Now, I know that's going to be subject to debate. We're going to have a guy up a little bit later, the Gun Owners Association of America, and they're clearly against some of these proposals of this so-called bipartisan package. And Senator John Cornyn the other day, as he is appearing at the GOP convention in Texas a couple days after the Uvalde thing, he's up there talking and he's being booed. He's being booed because it was clear that he's trying to help work out a compromise on future gun control laws. I am going to be very clear here. I've been around guns all my life. Dad had a pistol on an upper shelf in the bedroom. I knew where it was. I knew I also was not supposed to touch it. We had rifles and shotguns in the house, and we would touch them and take them out and go hunting. And then learn to clean them when we brought them back and take care for them properly and learn good gun safety. It never crossed my mind to do anything else with that weapon at that point. And we had them in the school parking lot in rifle racks in the back of pick-em-up trucks down in Texas all the time. And I was able to buy a shotgun at the age, I think, of 12 or 13, whenever I finished mowing lawns and got enough money to buy it. I actually bought it. Now, my dad could have bought it for me and given it to me. And in a case like this with some father wants his son or his son wants an AR-15, you know, he wants one, so maybe the dad will buy it and then let his son use it or maybe give it to him. The father is, of course, going to be responsible for the use of that weapon at that point as well. But I don't want to be so hard and fast that we don't consider that is there a little tweak that we can do that does not become a slippery slope to demolishing the Second Amendment. And then we get into the training of the officers and how they were trained and what they were doing. Again, comments from the other day in his testimony, the Department of Public Safety for Texas, the Highway Patrol Chief Steve McCraw.
One error, 14 minutes and 8 seconds. That's how long the children waited and the teachers waited in rooms 111 to be rescued. And while they waited, the on-scene commander waited for a radio and rifles. Then he waited for shields. Then he waited for SWAT. Lastly, he waited for a key that was never needed.
There was also, and by the way, the mayor has also condemned those kinds of remarks. He said, the city's not going to issue any official statement, yet he came out and started talking to the Texas Tribune and saying, we're being made the scapegoat, and it's not just us, but the state has a responsibility, the state police have a responsibility. And if you recall, some Border Patrol agents who work in the area, they also rushed in to help. And the police chief of Uvalde has been criticized for his role, but I still don't have all of those details. I'm not sure anyone here does either. But I'll give you some details of what's in this so-called gun control deal that's been revealed, and some things in it that you might say that might be a step too far. And my guest coming up before we wrap up the hour might agree with you. Or maybe not. Stand by.
And we're down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
In case you missed it, actor Matthew McConaughey, born in Uvalde, Texas, was in Uvalde shortly after the shooting at Robb Elementary. And then yesterday he was at the White House on a press briefing endorsing a series of gun control proposals. And in the White House briefing room, he said, this moment is different. We're in a window of opportunity right now we've not been in before. A window in where it seems real change can happen. I don't know what makes this window different in the sense that children shot to death, as they were in Columbine and other schools as well across the nation. I also don't think Matthew McConaughey is doing this to make himself bigger than the story or trying to capitalize. I don't believe any of that. I believe he sincerely, prayerfully has considered what he's doing and what needs to be done. But I don't consider it different unless you look at the fact that we should have learned from Columbine how to deal with such a situation. And I'm not talking about gun control laws. See, McConaughey's talking about gun control laws. If we have an opportunity for some real changes on gun control laws. We're going to debate that in a moment. But the Columbine incident taught us then, and police had been trained since that time in 99, that you don't wait, you keep going in. Just because you're not hearing shots being fired doesn't mean that some students might be bleeding out, that if you get to them in time, triage them, you could maybe save lives that would be lost. But if you're just waiting outside to get certain things in place, they might be dying. And the Texas Tribune, in its time analysis of looking at all the information they've gathered, that the attack itself lasted 77 minutes, and for most of the 77 minutes, officers continued to stay outside classrooms 111 and 112. In position in case a gunman came out, but making no effort to go inside. So that I would say, yeah, we need to reevaluate that for sure. But now let's get to the gun laws themselves and a couple things that maybe you're not aware of that are in it. We're going to discuss it with my guest coming up here shortly. This is the Senate unveiled this yesterday, late yesterday, after we were off the air, and it is a gun control deal with the support of Senator John Cornyn, Republican of Texas, and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, along with Democrats. That's why they're trying to call it a bipartisan deal. It has different things in there. It offers financial incentives for states to agree to adopt red flag laws. Also threatens to take away federal dollars if you're not going to enact red flag laws. And Congressman Gates is saying that the Cornyn gun package is, quote, using federal money to bribe states to enact red flag laws. And literally using the federal government to bribe states of their deprived citizens of Second Amendment rights. The NRA responding to it, saying it falls short at every level, and said the legislation can be abused to restrict lawful gun purchase, infringe upon the rights of law-abiding Americans, leaves too much discretion in the hands of government officials, and also contains undefined and overbroad provisions. For instance, it expands the background checks from 18 to 20 years of age. It also changes the review period for background checks from 3 business days to possibly 10. And when I say possible, that's apparently the way it's worded. It could be longer. And it also, this is interesting here, that one section expands traditional domestic violence protection from spouse and ex-spouses to dating relationships. It says dating relationship means a relationship between individuals who have or have recently had a continuing serious relationship or a romantic or intimate nature. Then it indicates the length of the relationship. There's a lot of stuff that's very vague in here. That is a problem there. If you rush forward and you're going to run to the finish line and you're going to beat all the other cars, but you're not watching your fuel gauge, you run out short of the finish line, you don't accomplish anything. Coming up, my guest, Gun Owners of America. Let's get his views. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Drinking dog whiskey, telling white lies. One leads to another on a Saturday night. And don't you cross your heart unless you hold the dime. Drinking dog whiskey, telling white lies.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. Well, in the previous segments, we were talking about Uvalde, Texas, and the proposed new gun law, the so-called bipartisan law that has gotten Senator Cornyn of Texas in deep trouble with fellow Republicans and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, as they join with Democrats drafting a proposal, which, according to the NRA, falls short at every level. Well, my guest is Mike Hammond. He's legal counsel for Gun Owners of America. Glad to have you on board, sir.
Hello, Larry. Hello, USA.
Yeah, USA, we're good. Thank you very much. Let's distinguish, first of all, the difference between the Gun Owners of America and the NRA. And I want to do it by asking a description I've seen written. I want to know if this is correct. You make every effort to make sure that the NRA is compromising on gun rights too often.
We believe that the NRA frequently compromises when it shouldn't. And we are, I think, Washington's only non-compromised gun lobby.
Yeah, you are the only non-compromise, as you
said. Non-compromise. You're the only one that doesn't compromise.
I want to make sure I heard it right. I thought I did. I just want to make sure because that's the way I saw it, too. Now, this proposal that's come out, the NRA has already said that it falls short at every level. Let me get your quick assessment, then we'll get into some particulars.
Well, I think the, quote, compromise, close quote, is horrible. I mean, it starts out giving lots of money to the 19, by and large, very liberal states, blue states, that have these middle-of-the-night gun confiscation programs.
Red flag laws.
Yeah, red flag laws. The way it happens is someone who doesn't like you drops a dime in the middle of the night, gets a judge, and the judge issues a order that the SWAT team comes to your house. Now, take into consideration, you have never been contacted. You have never been asked for your point of view on this controversy. The SWAT team comes to your house. It's always in the middle of the night. It's never in the middle of the day. And if you're lucky, they will ransack your house and confiscate your guns. If you're really unlucky, like Gary Willis of Ferndale, Maryland, they will shoot you to death.
That's pretty direct. So let's break that down briefly. I was born in Texas, raised around guns. I own numerous guns. Never been a member of the NRA just because never got around to it. And I'm not a member of the Gun Owners of America. But what I have heard, and you had to set us straight on this thing, is while the NRA, as you say, basically they, in your view, often compromise too much, and you were the only non-compromising gun owners group in America, that you guys don't want any restrictions on any guns on any level regarding the Second Amendment. Is that
wrong? Well, we think that virtually all restrictions are counterproductive. Take New York. It had a red flag law. It had background checks in which this guy who shot up the Buffalo supermarket got screened for whether he had 8 different categories of disabilities. It had virtually every form of gun control imaginable. The only thing it did is it guaranteed that when this guy, and I won't use his name, although I could.
Yeah, I don't use
names
either.
When he got through the security guard, he could go up and down the aisles of that supermarket, shooting everyone in sight, and they would all be seeing ducks. The same thing for Uvalde High School.
Right.
It was one of about 30% of schools in Texas, about 30% do have programs whereby their teachers can be armed in order to protect their students. Robb Elementary didn't have that program, and as a result, it's hard to say whether the security guard exactly where he was at any given time.
Okay.
When this kid, and I won't use his name, went up and down the halls of that elementary school, he knew that he could get his 15 minutes of fame, and he wouldn't have to worry about any teacher firing back.
All right. Now, I don't want to take away your passion. I can tell how obviously passionate you are, but you're a little close to the phone, Mike, if you can back off just a little bit.
Okay.
But I still want to be able to hear you, but I just was getting a little bit too much there at one point. Now, one of the things that this deal, and I was talking about it earlier, it expands domestic violence protections from spouse to dating relationships. It expands the wait time 3 to maybe 10 days, and then it expands, other things. There's some things that are just a little bit too vague at this point.
Well,
at the least.
Let me explain what those are. Anyone you have ever dated supposedly becomes someone who can bring a misdemeanor charge against you under the, quote, boyfriend exception. And if they bring that charge against you, let's say it's like the Kavanaugh hearings. One woman said, he kissed me and I didn't want him to. That sort of charge, now if it were a felony charge, irrespective of whom it was committed against, you would be banned from owning a gun. If it's a small thing like someone kissed me and he didn't, I didn't want him to, then if you could get a conviction on that, that individual would be banned from owning a gun for a long time.
All right. So again, I'm a gun owner. I don't have an AR-15. I just have never decided to get one. I do have extended clips for my 9mm. But, of course, limiting clips and then also going after ammunition makers and holding gun owner gun companies responsible for if someone uses a gun to kill someone. They're not part of this bill that I've seen, but that's part of the slippery slope we're seeing coming on the horizon.
Oh, that's coming next week. Every newspaper in the country that toes the liberal line has said, oh, this is just a tiny first step. And when the left has succeeded in destroying the gun community over this, the next thing will be that ban on magazines you have and a ban on the AR-15.
Yeah. Now, the difficult part here is, you had children?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Do you have children?
No.
Okay. I do, and I was playing a bite before, and we don't have a lot of time left here, but you can't take away what a parent feels when they lose a child, and nothing's going to explain it, but I do worry that this is, again, another rush to come up with something, even though we've got gun laws that are just simply not being enforced many times.
Yes, well, we do have gun laws which aren't being enforced. My brother lived in a ghetto in Kansas City. He woke up in the middle of the night, and a drug dealer was standing over his bed. He took that loaded gun in his nightstand, and he stood the guy down until the police arrived. No one got killed under those circumstances. I come from a neighborhood in which you have to turn the lights off at night, or alternatively, kids will knock your windows out with rocks. And so it's a difficult thing for someone in New York City to tell someone in Philadelphia that they have to watch the mobs of kids go down the streets and that they don't have a right to protect themselves and their families.
I would like to have you back in the future, sir, so we could go into this more detail, because we're going to see more developments, many more chapters yet to come.
Thank you.
I'd love
thank
to do
so
that.
Much.
I want to thank you again. And again, he is a legal counsel for the Gun Owners of America, the only non-compromising, as they bill themselves, gun lobby in Washington and across the nation.
As we are.
As you are, yeah. Mike,
as we are.
Mike Hammond, legal counsel for the Gun Owners of America. Again,
thank
I want to
so
thank
much,
you,
sir.
And we'll do it again, sir.
Thank you, Larry.
You bet. Yeah, a lot of questions left unanswered, and he answered everything I asked. It's just that I got a lot more material to devote a whole program to it. But we have other things we try to also cover, shift views and so forth. And one of them coming up is one of the things, and as a Marine, I got to tell you, this really ticks me off, because I worry what's happening with our military forces, and are they going to be able to do the right thing at the right time?
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Rottner Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family-owned for three generations, 65 years. Rottner customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to rottner.com.
Cheese. Ooh, that one, the Canada.
Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Hi, my name is Johnny, and I use he, him pronouns.
Hi, and I am Conchi, and I use she, her pronouns.
And we're here to talk about pronouns.
What is a pronoun? A pronoun is how we identify ourselves apart from our name, and it's also how people refer to us in conversations.
Using the right pronouns is a really simple way to affirm someone's identity.
That is part of a newly released Navy training video teaching sailors to use the right pronouns to show we're all allies. And they host the, can I say man and woman? Because they are. Biologically, they are. At least they appear to be. I don't know if one does or doesn't have a penis, but they appear to be, and they identify themselves by names, it would be. How about using the rank? Just use your rank. Instead of worrying about pronouns. This is what we've come to with our military and the wokeness culture. And it's not just here with the Navy, it's with also the Air Force. And I'm looking at the conservative watchdog group Judicial Watch shows how the U.S. Military Academy, West Point has been teaching cadets critical race theory. Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton says our military is under attack from within. They contain slides on CRT which teaches cadets at West Point that whiteness is a privilege one has to address to understand racial inequity and slavery. You're in the military. You're the color of that uniform. Is there still discrimination that happens? Of course there is. It happens between individuals. It's not a systemic issue, nor is it even gender. Although I will admit that there are many that are still not in favor of women being on the fighting front. I have two daughters. I wouldn't want them to be, but if they are, I want them to be properly trained and ready. And in Israel, young women do serve in some capacity with their military, and I met a couple that served on artillery units. But all of this is, they had another slide, they were showing West Point. West Point, modern-day slavery in the USA. You watching on Rumble.com? There it goes. That's the end of that. But it's not the end of the whole story. Because let's go back to this newly released Navy training video as they're trying to tell you this is part of the Naval Sea Systems Command Inclusion and Engagement Council's diversity team.
A pronoun is how we identify ourselves apart from our name, and it's also how people refer to us in conversations.
Using the right pronouns is a really simple way to affirm someone's identity. It is a signal of acceptance and respect.
If it's a signal of acceptance and respect, how do we go about creating a safe space for everybody?
That's a good question. A really good way to do that is to use inclusive language. Instead of saying something like, hey, guys, you can say, hey, everyone, or hey, team.
Squad, attention! That's one way you get their attention. If you can get them out of their coloring books and their crayons, put them away and get out of their safe space and get out to the front and do your J-O-B as a member of our U.S. military. This is what wokeness culture has done. It's weakening our military at so many different levels. It scares the hell out of me to think that if young men and women we have now that are subjected to all this, oh, I might get my feelings hurt, or I want to be called this instead of that. What the hell would have happened during World War II if they'd had that philosophy then? You know what would have happened. And then, of course, there are those that they're all about being woke, and it, just like Black Lives Matter, we're all about Black Lives Matter as long as we're bringing in the money. And then once we got our money, we go buy our homes and we're down with the struggle and we're out. You don't see, by the way, Barack Obama going back into Chicago, do you? Except briefly for a speaking engagement, maybe to autograph something. He's got a nice home in Martha's Vineyard. I don't default. I mean, I have no complaint about it, but every time somebody gets successful off the backs of others like that, like Megan Rapinoe, is that her name, the leading women's soccer player? She was doing a Time magazine interview. She said, I'm 100% of trans inclusion in female sports, and she's dismissing concerns about fairness. Well, she got ripped over a tone-deaf commentary that may say, well, you're on your way to retirement. What do you care? The Daily Wire editor, Ben Shapiro, as a matter of fact, wrote, if biological males were allowed to play against the U.S. women's national soccer team, Megan and her crew would get their asses kicked by a bunch of junior high boys. I love it. I'll give Shapiro credit. And another one says, I got mine, F them kids. Another one saying, Megan is selfish. She can say these because she's near retirement, not in danger. Two World Cup medals, Olympic gold, thanks to sex segregation. And they couldn't probably beat a 15-year-old schoolboys. They get theirs and they no longer care. I thank you for joining us. Share the word with others. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.